What's going on, Reality Daily? It is Jeremy here. We are talking all things Amazing Race 36, the penultimate episode, episode 9. And I can't do this alone. This week, I'm driving and Wyatt, you're navigating. So thank you for taking the back seat on this one. Let me drive because I like my control. I like my wheel. What's going on?
Yeah, last week I lost the crew, and similar to what they experienced in Bermuda, I am, or Barbados, excuse me, it is pouring rain where I'm at right now, so hopefully we will stay in touch of everything.
Yeah, but we won't lose the crew, because we've got you listening back at home. We appreciate you all for sticking with us throughout the season, and yeah, we're going to talk all things leg 9 of the Amazing Race 36, and they're in the Dominican Republic. Have they been in the Dominican Republic? I don't think so.
I do not believe so. I believe this is another first. I love this as a spot. Unlike Barbados, I do think they would have eventually came here, even if we did have the traditional Amazing Race back with the flights and everything. But excited that they came here finally, because I do think it's a great part of culture. And it's a cheaper destination to go to if you are looking to go outside of America.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close to America. It's you know, and they had some pretty cool tasks in this one. I liked what they did at the waterfall, and then to go to Bartolo Colon Stadium. I thought that was a neat little Easter egg, especially for those baseball fans. What a cool leg. One of my favorites of the season so far.
Yeah, definitely liked it. The challenges I feel like were fun, but I don't think that they really gave us a whole lot of intrigue in terms of what the results of the race were going to be.
Yeah, so we're going to just start things off. Ricky and Cesar, for a change, are leading in the first group with Juan and Shane. Juan and Shane finished second in the last leg after they beasted that detour in Barbados to go from sixth to second in a spot in that first group to leave on this leg, and they're going to hit a roadblock right away. And this roadblock was very, I guess, cryptic, which all roadblocks are. But this one of the harder roadblocks I think we've seen this season, having to go through on this massive hike and go up this, like, go uphill, and then you have to go down the waterfalls, and then you have to identify all of these very similar symbols from Taino petroglyph symbols. And the Taino people, you know, were the indigenous people of the Dominican Republic, you know, thousands of years ago. So what did you think of this task, Wyatt?
I wish it was at the end of the leg. I think this would have been such a dramatic conclusion to the leg. I wish it would have been there. I did think it was such a hard detour, arguably the hardest task that we've seen all season long. And like, nobody expected that they were going to have to run so much, right? We see Juan saying like, hey, this is what's going to help me stay ahead of, you know, Cesar. And then we have, you know, Rod thinking that he's going to be able to kill the other two teams, and then Melissa's right on his ass. It was nuts.
Yeah, I think this would have been interesting if it was the first part of the, like, maybe timing-wise, they probably wanted this in the morning, so it wasn't as hot to do such a difficult task. But yeah, one of the hardest ones of the season. And, you know, you knew that because with five teams left and only three legs to go until the end of the race, you wouldn't think that teams would work together. But given the difficulty of the task, it's almost like they had to work together to an extent.
Yeah, it was crazy to see them two working together. I mean, just like so many teams. You know, we talked about alliances this entire season and how they may, you know, destroy the race, you know, help other teams, hurt other teams. I didn't think that we would see it at Final Five, but it seems like these teams really did it out of necessity. At first, I thought Amber and Vinny were going to be the only team that didn't get help, but it even seems like Amber got involved a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, it seemed like Cesar was working more with Melissa, and Juan was working more with Rod, and Amber was kind of alone by herself. And I was thinking that maybe that would, you know, kind of push Amber and Vinny to the back of the pack. Were you surprised that Amber did this roadblock and not Vinny?
I wasn't, you know, I felt like they probably wanted to even up the roadblocks. I'm not exactly sure if they are still, but I thought that they were going to, you know, Amber to do this one, especially since they didn't know they had to run so much. If they knew that, then I think it probably would have been Vinny. But I think they wanted to make sure that these roadblocks were as even as possible, so it gives them more flexibility in the final legs.
Yeah, absolutely. But given all that we've seen, especially in the recent episodes, you know, Amber struggling with the pressure of the race, you know, to put her in such a hero spot was definitely a risk. But Amber did her job. And I think, you know, everyone, I don't think anyone did poorly in this. Obviously, some did better than others. But Cesar, surprise, surprise, is going to be the first to leave the roadblock. And it seems like him and Melissa are working together. So it seems like Melissa may be the next to go after Cesar leaves. But it's going to be Juan that gets done second, I believe, followed by Rod, Amber, and then Melissa. It seemed like Melissa, like Cesar was helping Melissa, but not that much if Melissa was still behind.
But the thing is, he told her pretty much everything except for one piece, and he didn't wait for her to, you know, get that green light to go. And because of that, I don't think it was on purpose for Caesar. I don't think he did this on purpose, but I do think this is like the ultimate villainous move, where it's like, hey, let me extract as much info from this person if possible, and I will give them info back, but I will leave one detail out that will leave them, you know, having to take a couple guesses to be able to figure out, and that's going to leave me, you know, more time to be able to get out of this challenge. Like I said, I don't think Caesar did that on purpose, but I do think that is like a perfect Amazing Race like sabotage strategy.
Yeah, especially on a season without any U-turns or yields or anything that will, you know, hinder a team. You know, that's like the easiest way to, you know, really force a team to struggle. I don't think there was any malicious intent behind it, but at the same time, I think also Cesar realized what the situation was and didn't want to help Melissa too much because there's only 5 teams left.
Yeah, I think he meant to help her. I did think that he wanted her to get the clue. I think that he just forgot one of the pieces to tell her was wrong. And I think that by the time that he left, he was like, well, I'm not going to wait for her to get the clue. I just gave her the answers. In reality, that's not the case, because we see later on that Caesar's like, I don't know what happened to them. You know, I hope they can get out. And then he's like, oh, my goodness, I don't know what happened to them, but I can't focus on it now. I got to focus on our race. It does seem that he did think that they had all of the clues there. I would have loved to have seen a reaction on him when he finds out that actually he gave them all the answers, but like one, and then that kind of hiccup is what led Melissa to this like long, or what felt like in the episode as a very long time that she was there by herself.
I think they said it was only 10 minutes though.
They did say it was only 10 minutes, but on the episode, it made it seem like they might've been an hour behind.
Yeah. And obviously like the races are much tighter in this format where there isn't any, you know, where they have the staggered starts in the beginning and they just keep it in one city. But still, I think there was definitely some distance between the front of the pack and the back of the pack. I think they were probably 10 minutes behind the last, behind Amber and Vinny, but they might have been an hour behind Ricky and Cesar. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, were you, like, Cesar, during this roadblock, you know, Juan was talking about how it was a pretty long climb. It was about a mile and a half, 2 miles, and he thought this was going to be an opportunity for him to kind of make some distance on Cesar. You know, look, I mean, Cesar is not, you know, Mr. Super Athlete, but Juan is definitely, you would think, in better shape than Cesar, but Cesar was keeping up. He was, you know, right there and probably a lot closer than Juan and Shane had suggested. I feel like, to me, Wyatt, you know, we've seen Ricky and Cesar as like the golden team in this whole race. And this to me solidified that. I have a hard time seeing them not winning this whole damn thing.
put Ricky and Cesar on Challenge USA 3. I said it. They're good at everything. They don't quit. And although, yes, like, Juan is going to be faster than Cesar, there's no shame in that. I mean, the guy was in the military, and although I don't believe that he was in, like, a position where he was running a lot, you obviously have to pass, you know, the fitness test and everything to be able to do that. So he's going to beat somebody that's, like, cooking all day. But that gap was not nearly as much as I thought it was going to be. And I think that was just sheer persistence. I don't necessarily think that, like, Cesar is going outside and running multiple miles a day to prepare for the race. I think he was just, like, just naturally just persistent and pushed his body to the absolute limit here. And I think that just goes to, listen, for a team that's so dominant like Ricky and Cesar, I still think they're the most rootable team. Like, they're still the team that I want to win, which is kind of crazy because it would be kind of a boring season if they win, right? Because they've never been in danger. They basically dominated the entire race. But I just feel like they're just so damn likable. They're not yelling at anybody. They're being nice to the other teams. And they're not complaining when things don't go their way. Now, maybe it's because things typically go their way. But, like, we haven't seen one negative thing after them. So I'm with you. I think they're going to win. If they lose, I think they're going to have to lose in the penultimate leg. I think the ultimate leg, when you get into, like, the memory challenge and stuff, it's like, who's going to beat them in that?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, this was a memory challenge they had here, kind of a mini memory challenge to get them ready for the finale. And Cesar was number one. And, you know, put him with Ricky in that, I have a hard time seeing how they lose. I'm definitely taking them over the field. Going into this last episode. But, you know, going into the next stage of the race, they have a route info card that takes them to Altamira at Don Manuel's Finca de Cacao. And basically, they go to this, like, major cacao farm where, you know, you have to make chocolate. So the teams have to, like, make chocolate in order to get their next clue. And we're going to see some shuffling here. We're going to see Rod and Letitia. They're going to come in at third, or I think they were third place, but they leave in second. And this kind of, you know, this solidifies their spot, I think, in the next leg, because they were able to get this task done much quicker than the other teams, it seemed.
Yeah, I just love the fact that we got a task that was not a roadblock or a detour. Pretty simple, straightforward task, but I liked it. And I think that we saw a lot more of that in the Amazing Race 35. I imagine we'll see more of that in the Amazing Race 37 when we're back to 90 minutes in the spring. So I love when we do tasks that are not necessarily, you know, segmented into detours or roadblocks, where every team has to do the same exact task. And you really see at that point, you know, who really can catch up and who really can just be a strong team. But yeah. Rod crushed it on this. They had a great strategy. He grabs them. She carries the bag. But, I mean, Vinny and Amber, like, they were the real stars of this challenge because they're completely on the opposite side of everybody else. And then, like, Vinny just wants to go damn Tarzan and, like, climb the tree. Like, he's Ozzy from Survivor.
Yeah, I think they definitely lose time from doing that. You know, there's something to be said about running your own race. But there's a time and a place for it. And I don't necessarily know if this was the time nor the place, because I do think they lost a little bit of time that they could have, you know, made up here. They left that first roadblock in fourth place. Maybe they end up in third place if they are able to, you know, get this task done quicker. But, you know, they don't lose any ground. So I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. And, really fun to see, like, Juan and Shane and Yvonne and Melissa also, like, attacking the same tree. I thought that was really fun to kind of see teams. I mean, you know, you see it sometimes when you have to, like, maybe get some type of, like, fruits or veggies, like, off plants. We've seen teams kind of have to, you know, attack on the same part of the challenge at the same time and kind of bob for position. I thought it was really fun with them, especially since I think, like, Yvonne got hit in the head by Juan's elbow or something. I don't know. They were apologizing for something. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. But it didn't make a whole lot of, other than Rod and Letitia moving up, wasn't a whole lot of change after that. I think Juan and Shane left in third, and Amber and Minnie left in fourth, and Yvonne and Melissa still behind from the first roadblock are still going to leave this roadblock in last place. But then they're going to get to another location. They're going to go to Estadio Bartolo Colon. And, you know, any baseball fans out there that are listening know exactly who Bartolo Colon is. One of the most iconic pitchers of all time, in my opinion.
For sure.
From our generation.
Yeah, he played from, like, 97. Yeah, played from 97 to, I think, 2018. Played a few years in Mexico, a couple years in the Dominican. Now he's playing in, like, this Middle Eastern league. He's playing for a team in Pakistan, which is kind of full of, I don't want to say, like, has-beens, but people that are a little bit older, you know, out of the MLB. And it's, like, a team in Mumbai, a team in Pakistan where he's playing, and then two teams in the UAE. So 50 years old, still out there playing. And this is not only his arena, but he's got his own statue there.
Yes, this is the poor Bartolo Colon spot. And it was so cool. Like, I thought it was really cool that he was there to hand off the clue at the end. That was kind of a unique setup. I mean, usually you don't. I
was arrogant. Is it arrogant to have a statue of yourself in your own stadium that you funded?
No. I'm sure
it's like, if I buy a house,
unless he was the one to say, hey, I want a statue of me. But usually I don't think people are like that. And
if you own the property, don't you have the say?
I mean, but what if someone's like,
they said he funded it. But like, if I buy a house and I put, like, I'm going to be the one that decides if I put a statue up or not.
You know what? I think Bartolo Colon has earned the ability to do whatever he wishes.
I couldn't agree more.
So at the roadblock, Ricky and Cesar are gonna get there first. Ricky's gonna do the roadblock, and he's like, oh yeah, I played baseball before. And he breezes through this roadblock, like, in and out, 1, 2, 3, done. Again, Ricky and Cesar, what can't they do?
It is so crazy, too, because it seems like, and I forgot who made the joke, I think it was Juan, where he was like, these guys, they have experience doing everything. They have experience welding, they have experience playing baseball, and it's just so crazy how many things really kind of, like, they have at least some little bit of experience with it, and they're just really a jack of all trades here. But the challenge was really interesting, right, because they do these drills, and they do, you know, the ground catch and throw to first base. Then they do the pop-up, the ball where you have to catch it in the air. But then they play the bottle cap baseball, which I am aware of, Jeremy. I'm sure you've seen it as well before. It is played mainly like kind of like inner cities or like countries that are like don't necessarily have enough to where everybody can have a bat and a ball. But don't you think if they're there, they should at least hit a real ball?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too, but it's like you use it for hand-eye coordination. Like, it is a drill. Like, you hit something smaller to benefit your hand-eye coordination. So I think that it was a little unique. It was a unique portion of the task, and they have space for it. You know, like, if you're going to hit a ball, like, you know, how deep are you going to hit the ball? But with this, it's like, oh, you only hit it 25 feet. Like, that's an easy way to, you know, add part of the challenge there. To basically, you know, what I think the most ironic part of all of this, Wyatt, was maybe when Rod steps up. And obviously Rod is a professional athlete, NFL player, you know, so you would think that he would do well in this. But out of everyone, it seemed like Rod struggled the most. Which was, I think, very ironic.
Especially because he was in the car basically saying, I could have went pro. Like, I could have made it to the MLB.
That definitely made it worse.
Which I believe that he could have gotten drafted, right? Because the baseball draft is like an infinity amount of rounds, right? Like, we've seen guys that play football or basketball, they get drafted, they have no experience playing baseball just because they're athletic specimens. So I definitely believe that he could have gotten drafted as well. Although I think based on Rod's performance here, he would have been in like AAA his entire career.
If he's hitting like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if he's going to play like that. But, you know, that was, they showed that in the preview going into the week, and you're like, oh wow, like Rod struggling at a baseball challenge. But it really wasn't as bad as they made it seem to be in the preview. Perfect little preview moment, I think. You know, foreshadow someone's troubles, and in reality, it's just a false alarm. How crazy would it have been if they lost the race on that task? That would have been pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, he was arguably the worst, because I think it's worse to like not be able to throw the ball to first base than, you know, be Yvonne and you're like whiffing on the bottle cap. Like, that's more understandable. But with that being said, this was a challenge that you could take, you know, 10 turns at each and really not be behind anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
right,
especially if nobody was there. You know, I don't know if we saw, with the exception of, I think, Vinny and Rod, I don't think that we saw like teams, I guess it was Juan and Rod, but like, we didn't see teams there. You know, if you had like a bottleneck where it's like, okay, this person gets to bat, now this person gets to bat, that's where you may see a little bit of separation. But because most of these teams had no issues like getting to try as many times as they wanted to, you really don't see any type of movement in the race, which unfortunately is bad for Yvonne and Joe Biden's former security, Melissa.
Yes, yes. Yvonne, apparently Melissa was in the Dominican for 45 days, you know, with Joe Biden.
Yeah,
that was a that's so nice. In the race.
Here's the thing, right? Is like, did she do a good job? Because if she did, why is she not there now? Maybe she is. Maybe she just took the holiday to go on the race. But I imagine that if you're like the person that's doing security for Biden, like, yeah, they're probably not going to want you to leave to go do a reality show.
Yeah, I'm looking at her her bio. She was a U.S. Navy Special Operations Investigator. She's from San Diego. San Diego's a big Navy town.
Yeah. So it may be one of those things where she was only called in to do security because they were, like, going into foreign waters.
Yes. We talk about we're not going to see a whole lot of movement after this task, and they're going to have to go to one more location before they go to the pit stop. But that doesn't really change the order either. Ricky and Cesar, surprise surprise, are going to be in first place for the sixth time in 9 legs. Wyatt, that's insane.
It is insane, and they're just racking up the prizes, too. And the thing is, though, is, like, you know that if you run the race with me and we win 6 legs, my ego can't even fit in the carry-on, like, going back home. Like, I am going to be on top of the earth. But they seem like such humble kings, even though they're absolutely putting on a clinic.
A clinic. An absolute clinic, absolutely. But, yeah, so they're going to finish in first. Rod and Letitia are going to pick up a number 2 here. That's their best outcome since the beginning of the race, when they were number 1 in that double leg in Mexico. So they're going to be in the final 4 next week. Juan and Chain are going to finish in 3rd here, and Amber and Vinny are going to finish in 4th. You know, there was talks about Amber and Vinny, especially that last roadblock. You know, Amber was thinking that she should have done the roadblock because she played softball and Vinny hadn't. But Vinny crushed it, and they're going into the final leg with an even number of roadblocks. The Amber has 5, and Vinny has 6. So they're only going to have 1 more roadblock to go. I guess Amber will have to do that. But we'll see if that ends up being an issue next week. Yvonne and Melissa, they're going to end up in 5th. An unceremonious 5th, I think, for them. I feel like after that first task, there was really no shot of them, you know, really recovering unless someone screwed up major.
Well, what was so crazy is that they were only 2 minutes behind.
Yeah.
And I really got suckered in, Jeremy. I really thought that Vinny and Amber were going to be the team that goes home, because it almost seemed so perfect that this was going to be the way that it ends for Vinny and Amber, right? They have to navigate their way to the pit stop on foot, Amber saying one thing, Vinny saying something else. And what I really thought, especially the way that they're showing Vinny, because they're burying him in the edit, and I'm not saying that he doesn't, you know, deserve to look like a jerk, but I'm just saying that, like, they're burying him in the edit, and I really thought that it was going to be like, Amber's going to be right, she's going to know exactly exactly where to go, but they're going to go with what Vinny says, and it's going to be wrong. And then when they get there, Yvonne and Melissa are already going to be checked in. That's what I thought was going to be. I thought that would be a very poetic end, and I got suckered in. I really thought that Yvonne and Melissa might be able to catch them.
Yeah, but we do have a nice ending to their story. At the end of the episode, it's revealed that they did have a baby, and it was born 8 weeks ago. So they are
When I tell you my jaw was on the floor, it was on the floor. Here's the thing, right? Is to my knowledge, I don't think they have social media, right? Like when the cast came out, I saw all these other people on social media. I didn't see them. And maybe they are on it and I just didn't catch it. But I didn't catch it. So my initial reaction was that these people did not survive the race. Like they might have like been fine on the race, but I felt like maybe they were going to break up at some point because it had been so long. I didn't think they were going to be together. On top of that, and I've mentioned it in prior episodes, Phil Kogan, when he was doing the interviews preseason, he kind of alluded to the fact that, or at least I took it as, that Melissa and Yvonne might be the argumentative couple of this season, because he's saying that they have two different styles of communicating and everything, and I thought that they were going to be so toxic to one another that they were going to be splitting up right after the race. So to see that, that did not happen at all, and two, they actually, you know, moved in together, had a baby, shocked me completely because I couldn't have seen it coming.
Yeah, but they have a child. I'm looking at their Instagram now. Melissa has 187 Instagram followers, and Yvonne has 237. So yeah. not the biggest social media people.
That's about what you expect. I mean, I would imagine if you went to like Danny and like Karishma, like people that stood out. I mean, these are people that, like, Karishma especially, she went in like on like episode 5, and I imagine that she's probably got like over 10K. It's just that's what happens when you're the purple edited team.
Yeah. So they are gonna end up with the 5th place spot on this season, but now we have our final 4, and it looks like it's one episode tomorrow. It's 90 minutes, and I think that's right because, you know, you can only fit so much in these 90-minute episodes. And if it's 2 legs, I think it makes more sense, especially if it's only 4 teams left. We both said Ricky and Sessa are going to win. And going into this final leg, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be a normal leg in the Dominican Republic. That's like the penultimate leg. And then the last leg, I think we talked about a little bit last week, was that it would be a scramble where they have 3 different tasks and they have to complete them in whichever order they wish. So there's no detours, no roadblocks, or none of that. It's just 3 tasks, finish it in the fastest amount of time, go to the pit stop. But in this leg, so going into this, the people that are doing the roadblocks are so Amber has 5 roadblocks, Juan has 5 roadblocks, Ricky has 5 roadblocks. But Rod and Letitia Wyatt, Rod has done 7 roadblocks, and Letitia's only done 4. Maybe that's a typo from what I'm reading, but weren't they only supposed to do 6?
I would think so, but maybe there's going to be a roadblock. Maybe there's 2 roadblocks in the penultimate leg instead of a detour.
Maybe. I mean, it would be weird to do all roadblocks and no detours in 2 straight legs. But, like, Rod did both of the roadblocks in this leg. So, and Letitia did the one in Barbados where they played, like, the pickleball in the street. And then she did the one in Argentina. And then she did one in Mexico early in the race. And then she did the Colombia one with the coffee bean, I think. Or maybe it was the one before. But she did one in Colombia. So maybe there isn't that rule for this season.
Yeah, I just would imagine that it would be, because if not, like, if you're like somebody like Danny and Angie, who like Angie was like nervous wreck every time that she had to do a roadblock because she was afraid she was going to screw it up. Like, wouldn't you just let Danny do everything if that's the case?
Yeah, I'm looking at the history of the roadblocks, and apparently, like, there is a way, like, there are some results of it kind of changing up. You know, so in season 35, which is obviously filmed after season 36, there was that rule in place. We saw in towards the end of the race, Rob and Corey, they both had to do, like, Corey had to do a certain roadblock once Rob reached six, and then Steve had to do it as well, from Steve and Anna Lee. But in the one before that, in season 33, it was the season that got shut down during COVID. There wasn't, like, they kind of threw that rule out.
Yeah, so maybe, I mean, they had to.
They had to for, like, COVID reasons. Maybe that's why it doesn't apply here. I'm not too sure. But we've talked about the whole race. You know, there have been teams saying, hey, like, we can only, like, I want, like, Angie and Danny. Like, I need Angie to do a roadblock so that, you know, so that we can have either or do it later on. And, you know, so it's a little, I wish there was a little bit more clarity on that. But assuming that there is, like, a rule where you can't do more than seven, maybe, then anyone can do a roadblock except for Rod. And that could put Rod and Letitia in a tougher spot in this final leg leading up to the finale. I know we talked about how we think Ricky and Cesar are going to win, but how do we think the rest is going to, you know, shake out?
So I think Juan and Shane have a very respectable second place. That's what I'm thinking. I lean Vinny and Amber third and Rod and Letitia fourth.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Juan and Shane in second, Rod and Letitia in third, and Amber and Vinny in fourth. So we're pretty much on the same wavelength. I think that Amber and Vinny are the ones that get shut out of that final leg, but I could definitely see it being Rod and Letitia. I'd be surprised if it was any of the boys. But again, you know, one leg could take you out. We'll see how that goes. Anything left to say before we sign off?
Listen, Ricky and Caesar are their only path to greatness. I think their winner equity is probably 90%. I think if they make it to the final leg, I'd even go as far to say 99%. Just have a hard time seeing them being able to lose it in the memory. However, if they do lose, I think it's got to be the one in Shane. I really have a hard time seeing Rod and Letitia or Vinny and Amber winning this situation based on the edit this season. But Juan and Shane, I think they have been given quite a good edit. So I do think if we do see an upset on Wednesday night, it is going to be Juan and Shane. But I'm rooting for Ricky and Caesar, and that is so shocking to say that a team that's dominated the entire race will be the team that I'm going to root for. But I just think they come off so damn likable.
I think I'll be happy with any results. I think the same. But I would hope for Ricky and Cesar to win just because I think they definitely are in the GOAT category if they can pull out this win. I don't even think they need to win the penultimate leg to be considered that. I think that they can just make it to the final leg and win. That's seven wins for them. I don't think any team has done better than that. So to me, that's GOAT status potential. So we'll see how it goes. The finale is on Wednesday this week, May the 15th, so we'll be talking about it afterwards here at Reality Daily. So be sure to like, comment, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast so you don't miss an episode. We're also talking Survivor 46. That wraps up later this month. And we're also talking the Challenge All-Stars 4, which continues each Wednesday. Naveed and I are talking about that this season. And as the summer comes around, you know, a lot of new shows coming out. We are looking to cover a lot from all over the reality TV world. So be sure to not miss a single episode, like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you guys so much. And we'll catch y'all on the next episode.